Kellogg. April 22, 1905. Dr. Kellogg. We have come to a time when church members grieve the Lord by searching into scientific problems that make void the past experience of the people of God. And because they cannot have the influence they desire to have over minds to sway them in the same channel which they suppose is an evidence of higher education, they become dissatisfied. They suppose that with their superficial minds they can comprehend God and His working, when they cannot comprehend the past facts of faith. It is to such that the instruction is given that is contained in the first three chapters of Revelation. Let our churches read and study this instruction, lest they follow a course that God condemns. I have great burden of soul for you, Dr. Kellogg. If I could see you in the road that leads onward and upward, I should be more than thankful. Were you a child, I would say that you had been spoiled through flattery, vain conceit, and self-exaltation. That which makes your case so sorrowful, so hopeless, is that you are not a man of truth. You frame for the occasion any sentiments that may come into your mind. You twist words. You misinterpret. You make assurances that are false. You have cultivated this deceptive influence until you have become an unreliable man. With what grief and sadness the Lord has looked upon you. When a man reaches the place where he will resort to any subterfuge to accomplish his own will and to appear to be just and righteous, his condition is grave indeed. Oh, that you would repent and turn to the Lord before it is forever too late. When you obey the truth that works by love and purifies the soul, then you will have fallen on the rock and been broken. Men who are ignorant of the byways you have entered, the crooked paths you have made, are in danger of following your lead. I have been compelled to bear my testimony to the church, enter not into that path, to follow a course of action that will leaven your faith with evil, spoil your confidence in Bible truth, and lead you to build castles that will fill you with self-confidence and separate you from God. There are occasions when God calls upon His people to take a firm stand on His side. If one man should bear rule and another man should bear rule, there would be collision. What shall be done? Each may claim as much authority as the other. The Lord has His messengers to whom He has given a special message. These messages point out God's way. There must be men who take a firm stand for God and for conscience. The course of action some will pursue will be no rule for those who take the Lord as their counselor. The man who fears God, who believes and practices the Word of God with high, unbending integrity of character, will make straight paths for his feet, that the lame be not turned out of the way. A great crisis is upon us, and all who stand under the blood-stained banner of Prince Emmanuel, girding themselves for the battle, will be led and taught of God. The world, with all its selfish projects, its burden of leaven of dishonesty and craftiness, its boasting and its desire for the supremacy, its neglect of the things of God, is not to receive our attention or our confidence. Upon all who have received light in regard to the truth, for this time, is laid the obligation of proclaiming the warning message. The labors of our ministers are not to be confined to the churches who have received the truth. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. Under His generalship, we are safe under all circumstances. I have a word for you from the Lord. Take your stand for the right, and cease to suppose that you are safe where you are now standing. You need to undergo a transformation that will give you an experience which is the opposite of the experience that you now have.
Clearly and decidedly, I am to bear my testimony to the people, and I am to trace this testimony on paper that, should I fall asleep in Jesus, the witness to the truth might still be born. It is a matter of vital importance for you to become obedient to the light God has given you and to show yourself a pattern of religious decision. We are placed where we have not the semblance of an excuse for walking in the broad path that leads to death. In the world is seen the condition of things that Christ said would come upon those who do not receive the truth in the love of Christ. All who honor Christ and adorn the religion of the cross will be honored by God. But the Lord will not honor you as you now stand. Those who suppose that you are worthy to be honored will give you credit that does not belong to you. You know this, I need not tell you. When you accept the obligations laid upon you as one worthy of the position you occupy, you will show an altogether different character. You have a standard to maintain that you have not maintained for years. When you come into harmony with the Lord Jesus Christ, our churches will hear from your lips a testimony of Christian strength, Christian courage, the very root and groundwork of a thoroughly Christian life. You will be steadfast in the faith. You will not see in false science the charms you now see. You will see the danger of your erroneous sentiments becoming woven into the characters of men who do not view things in a correct light. If every physician in our ranks would separate from your influence, they would sound the keynote of Christian medical education, for the angels of God would give them life and courage in the Lord, and power to stand against your persuasive influence. It is the privilege of every man who is converted to the truth to show moral independence, to stand firm for the truth and for righteousness. When propositions are laid before a believer to engage in business that would lead him to deviate from the principles of the law given for the guidance of every man's life, it is his privilege and duty to make a firm, decided refusal. The strongest representations that may be made should not lead him to engage in any enterprise that would pollute his conscience. He is to hearken to the Holy Spirit, who would lead him to say to the tempter, "So did not I, because of the fear of God." Nehemiah 5, verse 15. I tell you, a great crisis is upon us, and those men who have united with you and sustained you have not said, "So did not I, because of the fear of God." In our work, we need men of moral independence, uncontaminated and unshackled, so that when a principle of religion or duty is at stake, they will stand firm in defense of the truth. We need men who will not hold their peace when they see evils coming in and wrongs being done. We need men who will refuse to give consent by silence to unjust actions. Nehemiah is an example of the standard that must be maintained at any expense. Neither danger nor difficulty would shake his adherence to the just, holy, righteous principles of truth. The honor that must be maintained in the work to be done for this time requires staunch determination. Men are needed who will say, "The hand of God is good upon me. I will arise and build." See Nehemiah 2, verse 18, 20. There are today too many pliables. Beware of the inclination to follow your own impulses. Adam, hiding himself from God, encompassed himself in obstructing darkness. My brother, unless you change square about, calling sin, sin, and deception by its right name, you will continue to deny God, and the hindrance to right doing will become stronger and stronger. Yield no longer to the deceptive power of sin. Let your scientific researches be turned into a wholesome channel. Do not pretend to have fellowship with God while you are an alien from Him. Fellowship it is impossible for you to have while you yourself make it impossible to recognize what God is and what you are. The Lord is too pure to behold iniquity. So long have you refused light that I do not know that it is in your power to see yourself as you are. And your associates, bewildered by your scientific problems and your presentation of good works mingled with false statements, need to study the message given to John as recorded in the 3rd chapter of Revelation. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father upon his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verses 11 to 22. I have a message for those who have sustained Dr. Kellogg in his deceptive science. Those who have received and voiced his words have greatly hindered the work of God. To these I am instructed to say, Take your stand upon the platform of eternal truth that God has laid. Christ has pronounced a distinct blessing upon those who, day by day, accept and follow His teaching. His Beatitudes are for those who receive the Word into good and honest hearts. God calls upon His people to unify, that the harmony among those who love Him and keep His law may convince those in the world that he sent his Son to save sinners. Christ calls upon those who love God and keep his commandments to unify on the truths that have called us out from the world as God's denominated people. God is love, and all who are truly practicing the truth will bear the precious fruit of love. Today, Christ is standing at the right hand of God. He will teach every earnest seeker the true science, which is Christ within, the hope of glory. The testimony borne by the apostles confirms the teaching of the Old and New Testaments. The testimonies that they have borne come down the ages to our time, that we might have fellowship with the men who bore these testimonies. Before Christ left his disciples, he declared that the Holy Spirit would bring all things to their remembrance. "I will pray the Father," he said, "and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also." John 14, verse 16, 17, 19. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. And if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. 1 John 1, verse 1 to 10. Let your efforts be put forth to become acquainted with the science of pure, undefiled religion. Come into line. Come into line. No man who dishonors God is worthy of praise or honor. These words the angels stood repeating with deepest power.
I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their words, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. John 17, verse 15 to 23. If these words were believed and practiced, a powerful influence would go forth from the Lord's commandment-keeping people. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name,
and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Verses 24 to 26. There is a great work to be done in a short time. The Lord will take men from the plow, even as he took Elisha, and will give them a part in the closing work. John the Evangelist was called from his fishing boat and made a fisher of men. It is he who says, "And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." 1 John 1, verse 3. Can we lay hold of this greatest of all science? Is our fellowship with the Father and with Christ? The Lord will not much longer allow Dr. Kellogg to pursue the course of deception that he has pursued for years. He will take his case in hand. He has borne long with him, but the medical missionary work, so long controlled by him, shall not always bear the marks of his defection. God would have made Dr. Kellogg a man after his own mind, but Dr. Kellogg refused to place himself under God's control. His crooked ways and deceptive works are a great dishonor to the truth. I have seen that Satan's power over him has not been broken. Those who choose to sustain the man who so greatly dishonors God and stood directly in the way of his work will themselves become so deceived that their work will not be accepted by God. I have felt reluctant to say these things, but I know that the Lord would not have souls endangered any longer by Dr. Kellogg. Tares have been sown in the minds of God's people, and as a result of this, some have given up the truth. Some have become infidels. The misrepresentations that Dr. Kellogg has made of the work that God has given me to do has made them infidels. If the crisis must come, let it come while I am alive. There are those who have been diligently gathering together what appear to them to be contradictions in the testimonies given me. But God stands at the helm. Let Satan be rebuked. Dr. Kellogg has followed strange devisings to keep from acknowledging his course as wrong. He has not yet fallen on the rock and been broken. Unless he does this, the rock will fall upon him and grind him, with all his pretensions, to powder. I dare not sustain him in his course. I would not have the crookedness of his ways brought before the world if it can possibly be avoided. But unless he renounces his companionship with Satan and links up with Christ, the break must come. I have tried to keep silent, but as I have seen him exercising his subtle influence over the men who do not seem to realize that he is wrong, who do not understand the work that Satan is carrying on through him, I am constrained to speak. These men are binding up with Satan's sophistry, fastening their leader and themselves in Satan's snare to practice the works of the enemy. God demanded of them truth in showing Dr. Kellogg his peril, but those whom we believed would receive the warnings given them have rejected them and have given him encouragement in an erratic course of action. I am now to say to our brethren, cut loose, cut loose. Take your stand decidedly if you would save your souls. Take your position for truth and righteousness.